throw it out for like a Locks of Love situation.
Yeah, I've got
12 inches.
I've got pictures of me in high school when I had long hair. It's
I had long hair in high school too.
It's not pretty. So. I mean, I wouldn't say it was never Locks of Love long. Like I, no, couldn't, I couldn't quite do ponytail, but it was bushy. It was.
Yeah, it I'd was say something. to my mouth if I put it down like this, you know, mm-hmm. like so.
Yeah, I probably could have gotten close. My mom was pretty fervent about keeping it out of my face, so like around the back and stuff was probably longer. But yeah, it was.
So it was a mullet.
It was not a mullet. It was just.
So that's okay. You had a mullet. It's okay.
It wasn't. I didn't have a mullet. Shut up, Pat.
In fifth grade, I had a rat tail. So. Welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor David Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
Doing well. Good. Doing well. Well, it is a summery week here in Houston area. Very warm, very hot.
It's so hot. All the time it's hot down here.
It really is. It's really a question of why does anybody live here, much less why do 4 million people live here.
It's like, ridiculous. It makes no sense. We should all just be migratory. That's what we really should be doing. Human race, we should be migrating.
I get the snowbird mentality of people who live up north during the summer and then fly down to Florida and live down there. You know, I'm ready to retire and just do that for my life.
Yeah, but you'd have to like reverse snowbird it. You'd have to be like I don't know what's a summer bird.
Well, isn't what they're called, like the snowbirds, when they're old people who come down
But the snowbirds come down for the winter. You live here, so you'd be going up for the summer. So you'd be a reverse snowboard.
Okay. Yeah, I see it. I see what you're saying.
I don't know what's a hurricane bird? Yeah, you'd be a hurricane bird. Yeah, you'd be
sure. Yeah. All right. Well, I've got some news.
All right.
For you. Yeah.
Is it about the expectant larger than normal hurricane season that I've been hearing about?
Oh, no, it is not.
Oh, all right. I just like to keep a running tally of all the reasons that this is the end of the world. This, you know, running tally. Murder hornets. Larger than average hurricane season. Just keep that running tally going for beyond Sunday.
I even think I saw that NASA like opened up some like portal to another parallel dimension or something.
Excellent.
In Antarctica. Yep. So, but great. That may have been fake news. Who knows?
It'll be good.
We'll
get Thor like coming in here. It'll be good.
A local Boston newspaper source that I read, and I was like, this does not sound like if this really happened. I'm not sure.
Opened up a portal to another dimension. Yeah. Are you sure they didn't just like replay the, you know, theme of Avengers or something like that as a
news probably
story?
Did. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. In Antarctica. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, here's my news. I'll give you the headline here. Thrash metal drummer awakens from coronavirus coma, doesn't think Satan is that cool anymore.
All right.
So this is a heavy metal, a death metal drummer mm-hmm. got coronavirus.
Is thrash metal different from like heavy metal?
I'm not sure I really have the ability to speak to that. So
okay. Listeners, maybe. All of you thrash metal fans, I know we have many thrash metal fans in our listener base. I'd like you to write in. I'd like you to help Patrick and I learn a little bit more about thrash metal. Yes. We want to know. Yep.
He is the drummer, Will Carroll, drummer for the band Death Angel.
Nice.
Tested positive for coronavirus back in late March. All right. And then he was in a coma for 12 days and then got better on March 30th. So this was then.
Okay.
While in the coma, this is what he says, he had a vision of visiting the afterlife. He saw himself leave his body and plummet down to hell, where Satan, a woman in this case, punished him for the deadly sin of sloth, morphing him into a Jabba the Hutt-like monster who vomited blood until he had a heart attack.
Wow.
When he woke up, his first words to the nurse were, "Am I still in hell?" He said she ignored him.
Seems like standard protocol for the nurse in that situation. That's
Yeah, so a vision of life beyond. Have you ever read any of those books? I mean, there's been a few Christian publications.
Yeah, they usually go the other direction. They don't.
Oftentimes. Yeah, I guess the most popular would be like Heaven is for Real, right?
Right.
Like that's the most latest popular one.
Yeah.
I think that one is like a little boy has a vision of the afterlife.
Yeah. That's
my There's a movie made well. About it.
There was,
did,
okay,
not,
and a
did not read it. Did not read it. Did not watch the movie. So.
I agree. I will say, though, this sounds like, you know, we're going to get into this a little bit later, but it sounds like this gentleman had a little apocalypse of his own. He had a little pulling back of the curtain, a different revealing perhaps than we would have expected, but yeah.
A mini apocalypse.
You know, hey, if it takes you going into a coma and meeting a woman who is Satan that turns you into Jabba the Hutt to say, man, maybe I don't want to be sloth-like, all right, well, maybe there that's good for you. I don't know. I wish that it didn't take a coronavirus and a coma for you to have that experience, but if that causes you to live differently in a way that does more to care for others and to care for the world around you, then good for you.
Yeah, yeah. So
I mean, was trying to think of what a thrash metal expression of good for you would be, but I have no idea. So I
it's definitely shooting in the dark.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, have you ever had this inkling of a flash of heaven, hell, you know, a post-life experience?
Not like in a coma dream state. I mean, I've like thought about
it. I've not. Yeah.
All of my heaven hell thoughts have been fully conscious and like, you know, in reading books or in thinking about the Bible or in talking to other people. Like, is this what it's really about? That sort of thing.
Yes.
No weird altered states of consciousness in which I enter that realm.
I hear you. I know a lot of those books that Christians have written about this. You know, I'm not saying all of them, but certainly many of them have later come out to be somewhat hoaxes. So I take it for what it is. You know, there's no reason for this guy to lie. You know, like, unless to get interviewed by, like, the San Francisco local newspaper, San Francisco Chronicle. You know,
got to get that 15 seconds of fame, man.
Sure. Well, he's in a death metal band. I feel like, you know, that's at least some seconds of fame there, right? Like, he's touring.
Sure. Oh, well, all right.
All right. His takeaway: I'm still going to listen to satanic metal, and I still love I guess that's a band, and bands that like that. As far as my personal life and my experience of what I went through, I don't think Satan's quite as cool as I used to.
Nice.
So, you know, that's a good takeaway.
This is a real real conversion experience for him. That's good.
Yeah, I mean, if this is his experience of Satan transformed me into a Jabba the Hutt until I vomited blood. Yeah, that's not a very cool Satan. That's not a cool. That's not a cool move.
Not cool.
that's not a fun way to go. Yeah.
Yeah. So Patrick, if you were in a thrash metal band,
yeah.
What would be your thrash metal band name?
That's a good question.
They had Death Angel, right? This was that group. It was Death Angel.
Yeah.
Uh huh. Yeah.
Let's see. You know, a lot of from my understanding, a lot of the metal bands do have like religious imagery and symbolisms in there. I mean, like, probably even like the most famous like heavy metal band I know is like Black Sabbath,
right?
And you know, that's got some religious imagery in there, so I'm trying to think of, you know, some religious words. So you got to have death or black attached to it. That's I think
mine would be Death Gargoyle. I think that'd be what I go
death
for.
Death Gargoyle. What about like Black Homily, you know, like
I like Black Homily. That's kind of fun. Yeah.
Sure. Sure. There you
Death
go.
Death Cathedral. Death Cathedral.
Oh, I could do that. Yeah. Passing of the Death. You know, it's like the peace.
Sure. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. I think you should have stuck with a Black Homily, but that's
I'll edit that out. That's funny. You know.
You got to end on the high note. That's right.
Yeah. All right. Let's get to our main story. All right. This is from Relevant Magazine.
Okay.
All right, and
what's Relevant got for us today?
Okay, Relevant Magazine is a Christian article. I don't know if they're actually a magazine anymore. I think they're just an online periodical.
Oh, all right.
I don't think you can get a subscription.
Take that, paper publishers.
Yeah, I mean, like everything these days. All right, well, here's their headline. 2/3 of U.S. Christians believe COVID-19 is a message from God. And then the byline here: American Christians largely believe the pandemic is God's way of telling humanity to shape up. And so this is from a poll from the University of Chicago Divinity School and the Associated Press, NORC, I don't know what that stands for, Center for Public Affairs Research. All right, so this is their research, and Reliant is
Relevant.
He's kind of reporting on it. Irrelevant, yeah.
Reliant is an energy company.
Reliant Energy is getting their hands in this. No, Relevant is reporting on this research. So yeah, they did not do this research themselves. So in that research, 1/3 of American Christians felt strongly that God is using this to tell public the need to change. And roughly the same number feel the same thing somewhat. So 2/3 of Christians at the very least say God is saying somewhat that COVID-19 is a message from God.
Yeah, okay.
All right. I bet we're not going to be on the same page, though, those two-thirds of Christians, on what that message is.
Yeah, I think so. That would be the next question, right? Is like, did they say what the message is? Like, you know, if this is a message from God, what are you hearing? What are you learning? It's an interesting take. You know, I think that's it's a fine line. We've talked about this a lot before, right? Can God use this thing as a message without God being the cause of this thing, right? God uses the stuff that's in our life to communicate with us or to bring about God's reality, even though God does not cause that initial thing. I think that's an important. We got into this with the Hulk, right? Or not Hulk? Well, Hulk Hogan, not the Hulk. We got into this with Hulk Hogan, where we're like, yeah, I think, you know, Hulk Hogan was saying, oh, God brought this thing. God sent this disease. I'm like, I don't think God sent this disease, but I do think God is going to use this disease to bring about God's purpose, and God's going to be able to hopefully help people experience life in the way God intends in the face of this disease.
Yeah. Yeah, I think this is definitely where it's going to get into the weird places of, one, what is the message? And two, and I think we've discussed this in the past, can we really, I'm not in the two-thirds. I'm in the one-third of, like, until I have a prophet, you know, saying this is the message of God. This is the message of God. Our prophet that we follow saying this, and I don't have, America doesn't have those anymore. So that is, I'm definitely going to stick my claim in the one-third. I don't think that this is a message from God. That does not mean that there's not messages from God that can be heard or seen or read in the midst of this. If that makes sense.
I think I need a little bit of clarity on what you mean there. So it's not a message from God, but there are messages of God in the midst of it?
Yeah, because I believe there's messages of God in the midst of everything. You know, so it's not...
How is that different from a message from God?
Well, because I don't believe that God sent coronavirus, especially to tell the United States what to do. Like, oh, that, sure. That is the first part. I don't believe that. Now, I don't think, one, I don't think there's any spiritual proof of that. And two, I think that's an incredibly arrogant way of seeing the world, of a worldwide pandemic happens to tell the United States,
sure,
our country, where I live, messages from God. Like, God's got to, you know, kill hundreds of thousands of people around the world to get the United States' attention. Just does not seem... you know, how God is going to operate, right, in my opinion.
And there's no evidence that has worked in the past, so why would it work now?
Yeah, sure. This is not the first plague that's entered the world. This is not the first disaster that the United States or any country has had to deal with. Mm-hmm. And things didn't change. So, yeah. Like, you know, we're not super susceptible to, okay, coronavirus hit. Now the United States is a kinder, gentler, loving nation that exposes Christian values on every level.
Yeah, I think there was about a 24, maybe 48-hour period towards the beginning of this where that seemed like, hey, look, things are, you know, kind of calm and everybody's coming together and trying to support one another and working together.
Yes.
And now it's been a couple of weeks and we're all, you know, back at it again. And we're back to, oh, it's all political and it's all a hoax, or it's all this, or it's underreported, it's overreported, or, you know, it's, yes, the Democrats, it's the Republicans, it's the Chinese, it's what, I mean, and all of it is just back to the same old stuff that we've been doing before.
Agreed.
Yeah. But, so in the sense of that, you're saying the coronavirus itself is not a message from God, but in the midst of a global pandemic such as this, there are ways that we can receive messages from God in that context.
Yes.
All right, I can get behind that. Yeah.
I don't believe God started a virus in Wuhan, China to get the United States' attention. I just don't think that's true. But this is, I believe God is continually at work in our world, right, utilizing what's happening to draw humanity towards himself, or glory, you know, pointing that back to who God is. So God is not starting this waiting for us to get our act together. I believe God is actively at work utilizing whatever's happening in our own personal world or the greater scheme to draw humanity closer.
Sure. So had you gotten the call from the AP's NORC or whatever it was.
Yes.
About this question. They had said, Patrick, or they probably said, Mr. Nazaroff, do yes. you believe that this coronavirus is a message from God? You would have said no.
I would say no.
Okay. Yeah, and I think, and it's probably more of a demonstration of the problem with the question than it is of any theological issue, but I think I probably would have been somewhere in the middle. I probably would have said that because I think there are messages from God, and just making that distinction within the context of that question is really difficult. So, yeah.
Yeah, so, the demographic that is most likely to say COVID-19 is God's way of telling humanity that it's needed to change.
Let me guess.
Okay, sure.
Ready?
This is my race, by the way. So, yes.
I was totally gonna guess infants. All right, this is by race.
Yeah.
So not by. Denominational persuasion.
By race. Yes.
By race. Then the most likely I'm gonna say is I don't have a good guess for this. I'm gonna say African American though. I'm gonna say African American.
You are correct. All right. And I think that when it comes to denominational alignment, which is most likely that our Black brothers and sisters here in America would follow themselves, they would probably find themselves closer to evangelical alignment, not politically, but theologically. So that would be greater Baptist, Pentecostal, or charismatic churches. They would find themselves a greater alignment towards that versus. Catholic or mainline,
would have a much deeper sense of spiritual connection and spiritual reception of messages from God on a regular basis. I mean, they're just
absolutely
denominationally, they're much more comfortable with that realm of faith. Whereas Lutherans are kind of like, we think God spoke once upon a time, but you definitely didn't hear it. And I don't know, let's just not talk about it anymore. Here's a cookie. Here's a cookie and a cup of coffee. Let's not talk about it.
I think that is, and to get us off on a mini tangent here, I know you and I have spoken about this privately, but one of the things Lutherans struggle with is kind of the power of the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of God, how it moves and works in our world today. Mm-hmm. I think Lutherans have if you think about the three aspect nature of God, this is the one we have the least insight into and sometimes the least desire to have insight into.
Absolutely.
So God as Father or Creator, God as Son and Redeemer, those are the things I think we nail pretty good.
We're good on that. Absolutely.
Good understanding of that.
Yeah.
When we say God as Spirit, that's where I don't get it.
Let's not talk about it.
And I don't want to get it. That's right. Part of it.
You get one day a year, you get Pentecost, and then and we're done. We don't want to talk about it anymore.
So denominations that have a higher emphasis on the Spirit, so that would be charismatic, that's going to be evangelical or Baptist, that they're going to have a definitely clear understanding of God is sending us messages, God's Spirit is at work. They're more inclined in their day-to-day to say, how is God's message coming through the power of the Spirit every day that we don't have, that I personally do not share. Now, that doesn't mean they're right. That doesn't mean they're wrong. That just means that's what they are. So the next group, racially, let me get that information up. 37% of Latinos, it's 47% Black Christians, 37% of Latinos, and then 27% of white Americans.
Okay.
So that's kind of how racially in our country it breaks down.
Okay.
All right, so here's some other insights from this article that we can spend some time looking at here. Yeah. Or unless you have any more to say about messages of God.
Well, let me hear what the other insight is, and then I'll decide if I want to come back to this or not.
Over half of American Christians are confident God will protect them from the virus.
All right,
with 55% saying they trust God to keep them safe.
All right, so before we go to the confidence in God, I think talking about messages from God for a moment might be helpful. This is something that I've been researching and learning about within the last couple of weeks in particular, because I think we're getting a lot of, we joke about it on here too, right? The joke earlier about the end times, right? Is this it?
Sure.
Is this it? Is this the end? And so we get this language of, well, is this the apocalypse? And in fact, at time of release, when this podcast comes out, my sermon yesterday, so Sunday before this comes out, we'll have a little bit of this notion in it, where the understanding of apocalypse in the Bible is not our understanding of Apocalypse Now, right? We think of that language of apocalypse and it's end of the world, death, destruction, fire, brimstone, bad, bad, bad. But apocalypso in the Greek is really just a revealing. It's an uncovering. It's a, you know, at points in the Old Testament, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament, it's used to refer to people, you know, having a robe taken off or being uncovered in that sense, a curtain being pulled back. It refers to people's nakedness at points. And so it's really, you know, having your eyes opened to a new way of seeing the reality. And particularly within the context of some of the New Testament stuff, it's seeing what is God's ultimate cosmic work that's happening here. And you're getting a glimpse of this thing that's not the way that we would normally look at the world. And so if you ask us the question, right, is the coronavirus an apocalypse? I think my answer would be, I hope so, right? I hope that you are able to experience this thing, this global pandemic, and get a glimpse of a larger sense of what the world is supposed to be about what God's intention is for you and for your community and for humanity, that this isn't just a moment where we're walking through our world longing to go back to the ways things once were, but that we're walking through this world saying, what am I being shown about how the world could be different or should be different, about how our medical system should be different, about how our care for poverty and for those working in hourly wages and all this other stuff, how should we be doing these things differently? I think all of that is, in a truly, authentically biblical sense, an opportunity for an apocalypse, an opportunity for us to have something revealed to us in that sort of message from God. I support what you're saying. The coronavirus was not sent by God in order to give us this message, but God can use this to offer us a mini apocalypse in which perhaps we have something revealed to us.
Yeah, I think that's very interesting, because obviously when here in America, or probably worldwide at this point, you hear the word apocalypse, it is going to bring up, you know, the literature, the movies that have dealt with apocalypse ideals or ideas, and it's all end of the world. It's all destruction. Yep. It's all death. That's what we consider apocalypse. And I think we may have even mentioned this on the podcast before, but when Christians have thought about the end of the world, every generation of Christians have thought they're there. You know, there's pockets of Christians mm-hmm. in every generation since Jesus who legitimately believe this is the end, who pointed to the revelation of the Bible, who pointed to Jesus's topics when he kind of talks a little bit about the end in obscure ways, say, this is it. We're here. We're on the precipice.
Yep.
We're on the brink. Yep. And it is yet to happen. And I think, you know, that we have a little bit in us this kind of fetishizing here of like, this is going to happen and it's going to happen soon. And I think it's because, you know, we're endued that through our literature, through our movies, through this pop culture understanding of what that is. So I do like that idea that this can be an apocalypse because it's, you know, revealing to us the will and nature of God, even in the midst of something hard and weird and tragic,
right.
Hopefully does change things in the United States, that I don't want things to go back to normal. I want things to go back to better. You know, like mm-hmm. That's what we want, is not just, hey, remember that weird 3-month process where we did this thing and now everything is fine. It's like, how can this shape and change humanity differently on how we respond to one another? I do like that. I think that that is something powerful that is hopefully happening within our spiritual communities and our neighborhoods and our churches, that is conversations taking place, because I think that those things are powerful.
Yeah, and you know, this is something that I think has happened for churches and for people of faith throughout history, right? That we've always had these kind of mini apocalypses in which things happen to us or to our community and we shift because of it, right? I mean, the plague shifted how people responded to things in the late 1400s, and you know, World War I and World War II shifted how people respond to things in 1900s. And I think this, you know, this is going to be a huge thing for the church, right? We're figuring out now, how do we do things virtually? How do we connect with people in a virtual world in a way that we have not taken the time to invest in? You know, the church has been years behind the rest of the world as far as using this technology, and now we're starting to think about it in a more meaningful way. You know, and so I think the question for an apocalypse like this is, are we going to take that revealing and run towards the thing that was being revealed, or are we going to take that revealing and say, well, that's some future thing that we don't have to worry about now. I can go back to doing the way things I always did. And I think those are two options that we're going to see before us. And, you know, it's kind of like going to a doctor's office and the doctor saying, well, here's your test results. And you can either change your habits and have a healthy life, or you can continue going the way you're going and have this problem 50 years down the line. And so I think the church is getting an opportunity to say, hey, we can make this change that could really help the, help our health for the long term, or we can have this very serious medical problem in a few years.
Yeah, I think that that's the thing. So let's move on to that next topic here this research. I think that or do you want to keep going?
No, I'm good. Yeah.
Okay, good.
I'm all apocalypsed up.
I like what you had to say. I thought it summed it up nicely. So 55% are saying they trust God to keep them safe from a virus. So these are American Christians, not just Americans.
I'm going to guess again that they and I will disagree on what safe from the virus means.
I would probably say that's true. And this one, unfortunately, I have less data about here, according to the article. This is kind of it. So
they just we're going to have to... 55%. Okay.
Yeah, so this is we're going to kind of have to, fairly or unfairly, make some generalizations here.
I plan to make as many unfair generalizations as I can.
Perfect.
You can be fair, and I will be unfair. We'll play good cop, bad cop.
Okay.
My perspective is that they probably think safe from the coronavirus means either I'm not going to get it, or if I get it, I'm going to be okay and not die. Safe from the coronavirus means I will not die.
Yes,
in their mind. And I do think God is going to keep me safe from the coronavirus. I might die.
Yeah.
Right? Because God's safety for my life does not require on me being alive, because this life is not the best thing that God has in store for me. As much as I love my life, I love my family, I love my job, I love my community, I love my activities and hobbies and stuff that I'm like, I love this stuff and I love being here. It is not the best thing that God has in store for me. So yeah, God will absolutely keep me safe, because God promises to keep me safe in the face of death, not because God keeps me safe from death.
Yes. Yeah. So that's the first step, is how do we define safety?
Yeah.
You know, and then how do we define God providing that safety? You know, again, okay, well, but plenty of Christians, I hate to tell our 55%, plenty of people who have succumbed to the coronavirus are believers.
Yes.
Plenty of Christians historically have died from illness at the exact same rates that their non-Christian brothers and sisters have.
Yeah. Like, and how many churches have we seen just in this week who have started reopening for one thing or another and then have now shut down again because... You know, they opened for a Sunday or two and started seeing cases break out in their communities. Are we going to stop and say, well, those people didn't believe in God. They didn't have enough faith. So now they got sick, when they were the ones who were claiming, well, we have the most faith. So we're going to go back into the building, which is a whole nother conversation that we don't need to have right now. Sorry.
Yeah. And I think that this does, you know, and I've seen this on in social media, on comment boards out there, people kind of having this debate of faith versus fear, of even something about like wearing a mask to go to Costco, which is all the rage online right now, is should you have to wear a mask to go to Costco, because that's a grocery chain that has said you need to wear a mask to come in here. So it's not even like a suggestion, not an option. Of, well, I have faith, I'm not afraid, therefore I'm not going to wear my mask. And I just think, you know, like, I also am not afraid of the coronavirus. I really am not. That doesn't mean I'm dumb. That doesn't mean, like, I want to get it, or that we are not following healthy, reasonable practices in our home. It means if I get it, I trust in my God in spite of those things. But when I drive to the grocery store, I wear my seatbelt in a car that's insured. Like, all these things that are there to keep me safe, you know, and whether that's economically safe, whether that's physically safe, all those things are at place. And yet this, like, you know, wearing a mask is now all of a sudden now unsafe. And that's, you know, a little bit of a tangent there, but like, I think that we do have to say, like, if I trust God to keep me safe, which I do, that does not absolve me from personal responsibility for myself and my neighbor to keep us safe.
Right.
I think that's foolishness to be like, well, God is going to protect me, therefore I can do whatever I want.
Right.
I think that's akin to the temptation that Satan, previously mentioned Satan, gives Jesus in the desert. And he tells Jesus, basically, if you trust in God, if you have enough faith, jump off this cathedral, this building of a temple, and angels will come and rescue you to keep you safe.
Yep.
And Jesus says, no, that's like, I'm not going to tempt the Lord my God. I think that's what he kind of says. And then at the end of the story, angels do come and attend to Jesus.
Yep.
But I think that this gives us, like, because I trust in God, that does not give us license to be foolish and stupid and irresponsible with how I protect myself, my family, my neighbor.
Yep.
That just does not make sense.
Yeah. 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 Keeping, or God keeping us safe does not mean we have a lack of responsibility to keep others safe.
Yeah. Or, yeah, even a lack of responsibility to keep ourselves safe. Right. You know, so... Yep. That safety that I do believe God provides is not the safety that is mentioned in this thing. It's not a physical, tangible thing. And that doesn't mean that Christians and people have not experienced, like, near fatalities, you know, gotten sick and gotten better in miraculous or unexplained ways. Those things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But that does not mean if I get sick, God will just take care of it.
Yeah,
that's God's not under obligation to do so.
Yeah, this is certainly not an exclusively American problem, but I do think it's uniquely American in the kind of individual liberty, freedom nature of what the United States was born out of in the Revolution. Right, that we were going to stand up for our individual rights. That you can't be somewhere else and tell us what to do. That we're going to have these democratic principles where everybody gets to have a say, which are all great things, but I think this is important to see that even these great things can have a dark side, right? This is going to sound kind of forcey, but right, I mean, even the best motives can go too far, and when we take individual liberty, individual freedom too far, it results in this further potential harm to the collective, because we're so concerned with protecting ourselves that we're not concerned with doing what's best for the community. And, you know, there's a balance that we have to be willing to strike, right? My freedom is better and stronger if my entire community can share in that freedom. And when I insist on my own personal freedom above the freedom and safety of others, then it's not the society that we're hoping for. And it's definitely not in line with the faith community that Jesus walked with, right? I mean, Jesus walked with a group of people who... the early church, right, shared everything in common. They did everything to care for one another and to protect one another. That is not at all the type of society that we live in now. Now, it doesn't say that we need to go back and live in that exact model. The church is always shaping and shifting and being reformed by the work of the Spirit. But we need to be aware that, we're called to have responsibility to care for one another and to care for others just in the same way that we're called to care for ourselves.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I think a better question or a better way that Christians should approach this idea of, like, is God going to keep me safe? May be something more along the lines of, how am I as a Christian going to operate in a way to keep safe the neighbors, my family? What are the ways I can do to keep people, or what are the things I can do to keep people around me safe?
Yeah.
I think that's a better question. And I do believe, you know, faith is part of that, but I don't think just because one has faith in God, therefore they will be spared getting a disease.
Mm-hmm.
And in no point in history has that ever been proven to be true, where the believers were spared from getting a disease solely because they're believers.
Yeah.
That I just don't see that, except for some Old Testament times where God is clearly present in the midst of that. It just doesn't happen.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, unless we're talking about, you know, Moses and the plagues, it really just does not happen very often. In fact, the most faithful person ever, Jesus, was afflicted with great suffering and pain.
Yep.
And so, and all of his disciples experienced the same things. So, yep. I mean, like, in no point can we say faith in Jesus will equal safety, or that tangible safety that I believe that question is going after.
Yeah. Yep.
I just don't see it.
Yeah.
It's not guaranteed.
It's not. It's not. It's not part of the story that we've been told.
Yeah.
So, right. Are those 55% of Christians in America, are they wrong?
You know, yes, but yeah. I will give them some charity. And I will say, I think they've been misinformed.
Oh, sure.
I think that they have been misled by people that should be caring for their flock, have instead duped their flock a little bit and sold them that that faith equals security, and that's just not the case.
Yeah, and it's entirely possible that those leaders have been duped as well. Right? I mean,
yeah,
they might be doing this in the best of intentions. Yeah,
generationally duped. Yeah. Yeah, I don't believe it's an intentional, duping.
Yeah.
But I do think that if that is the idea, if someone believes, I have faith in God, therefore I will not get coronavirus, that I believe is foolish.
Right.
That doesn't mean they're going to get coronavirus. They could not.
Right.
But I don't believe it. Faith in God is the...
And not getting coronavirus is not proof of your faith in God. Like if you come out of this 5-10 years down the line and never had it and tested negative 100 times, yes, whatever, that is not proof that you are more faithful than someone that had it and recovered, or someone that had it and died. Right? That's not how this works. Yeah, for sure.
There are Christian groups out there that handle snakes.
Yep.
And sometimes get bit and don't die.
Yep.
And that does not mean one should handle snakes. Like,
yeah, that does not mean that if I pray enough, I should go grab the copperhead from my garden. That is not what that means.
All right, where can you find us?
Oh, we're just cutting it off right there, okay?
I don't know. Are we cutting it off right there? It feels like we're...
It seemed abrupt.
Okay. All right, well, we're 40 minutes in.
I mean, I'm fine with ending. It just seemed like, all right, where can you find us?
All right.
You're just like, all right, get out of here. That's it was like you were saying you don't have to go home, but you can't stay here. That's what it felt like, Patrick.
Closing time.
Nice. All right. So if you liked what you heard on the podcast today, you can, of course, find us at beyondsundaypodcast.com, where you can find all of our episodes. Be sure to follow us on Facebook, where we'll probably be going live with another recording session here in a week or two. We'd love to have you join us there.
Yeah.
And, of course, be sure to rate and review us and let us know what you think about the show.
Yeah, absolutely. For sure. We'll be back next Monday. We're beyond Sunday, but we come out on Monday.
Right.
There we go.
Because it would be weird to come out on Sunday if you're beyond Sunday. We're past Sundays, all right?
We've gone past Sunday at this point.
Sunday can't hold me back.
Yeah. Last night, I'll tell you this as we're wrapping down here. Our cat locked herself, or I locked her in our bathroom. I locked her in our bathroom.
Wait.
But then she made it worse.
You locked the cat, or you locked your wife cat in the bathroom?
Our cat.
Okay.
Our cat.
Okay.
The feline that lives in our home.
All right.
And so in our bathroom, there's like cabinets right where the door is. So, the door and the cabinets are on one wall. So she opened the cabinet, and it's also a hamper. And so it has a little flap. And so you open the flap so it came down and blocked that cabinet door from closing. So you could not open the door beyond like 2 inches to try to get her out of this bathroom. And how are we going to open this door?
Yeah. Did you lock her in the bathroom on purpose? Was this an intentional move?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you accidentally locked her in the bathroom, and then she got herself stuck.
And she, while playing or trying to get out, did all these things. So I had to like FaceTime my wife cat on my phone to like hold it in there, and so I could look at her phone to like see what was happening and get this this thing that gets like knots out of your back that has a hook on it,
uh-huh,
and try to like wiggle that in there to like lift that flap.
This is what's come to me. This is it.
All, and this is while our son is sleeping like right across the hall,
of
so it's like without making any noise.
Right, yeah, you gotta do it all silently.
Out of fear.
Yep.
Yes. Yep. So,
sounds like fun.
There you go.
All right. There you go, listeners.
Always fun.
Enjoy.
Yeah. So if you ever have a cat locked in your bathroom, call me up. I know what to do.
And Patrick's your man.
I can FaceTime me.
55% of Christian Americans think that Patrick can keep them safe from their cats getting locked in the bathroom. So,
you know, I'm going to say a greater percentage. I can do it. I can figure it out. I got my lead on there.
Okay.
Yes. All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next Monday.